Good morning. So far, there have been 246 mass shootings in the United States so far this year. And what I found really sad was that since the horrible tragedy in Uvalde, Texas at Robb Elementary School, there have been 70 more mass shootings. It just doesn't stop. We nightly see what's happening in Ukraine. So many tragedies, be it global, national, or personal. If these events have left us heartbroken and weeping, imagine what God must be seeing and feeling. God the Creator, who entrusts us with His creation, with one another's lives, and with His own life. Today, the Creator and the created once again stand together, weeping and brokenhearted. I might suggest that these tragedies are not problems to be fixed or behaviors to be corrected. That approach hasn't gotten us very far. Rather, I view them as symptoms pointing to a deeper issue. Until we are willing to deal with the deeper issue, things aren't likely to change. And the deeper issue is the human heart. Whether by a terrorist attack through prejudice and discrimination against a minority group, in our political campaigns or in personal relationships, the violence and mistreatment we perpetuate on each other arise first from an inner violence that poisons and fragments the human heart. We need a change of heart. We need a heart at peace. I can't help but ask, where is the peace of God today? I think that's a question many are asking. It's a question I suspect God might also be asking. While we wrestle with this question, let's not project our failings and human imperfections onto God, waiting for and expecting God to fill the void and fix the problems. This is not about God's failings or imperfections. It is ours, and the blood of the victims, the tears of the mourners, and the pain of the world are crying and begging for a different answer. Let's not give the same old answers. Let's not use the same old excuses. Let's not offer the same old solutions. Let's not meet the world with the same old beliefs. Instead, we heard in our gospel reading today, let's number ourselves among the 70 sent to every town and place where Jesus Christ goes himself. Let's enter every house first saying, peace to this house. Let's become people with hearts at peace, not at war. Isn't that what you want for yourself, for your children and grandchildren, for your family and friends, for the world? I do. That's what I want. I think we all do. But I think we also struggle with what peace means, what it looks like, and how we attain and keep it. If the events of today's world offer us anything, it's the opportunity to rethink what peace means and reorient our hearts. So let me ask you this, what does peace mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of peace? What does it look like? What shape does it take? Are you and I willing to change our understanding and practice of peace? Maybe we limit our definition of peace to a particular set of behaviors that we expect or want from the other person. We think of peace as an ideal to be attained, and more often than not, we define it as the absence or elimination of conflict. We've convinced ourselves that peace will come when this person or that group changes or stops doing something. Ultimately, we condition peace on our ability to change or control another. We let them determine whether our hearts are at peace or at war. The reality is that we don't have the power to change another. There is a reason so many of us feel powerless in the midst of our world's tragedies. We are powerless. The only person over whom we have any power or ability to change is ourselves. You and I are each responsible for choosing whether we live with a heart at peace or a heart at war. Jesus did not send the 70 out to change the towns and places they would go, but to simply offer his peace. How often does Jesus instruct us to go and change other people? He doesn't. Jesus does, however, spend a lot of time teaching us to change ourselves in our way of being toward another. That's the change of heart that is the core of peace. What do you think a heart at peace might look like? What if a heart at peace is about loving our neighbor as ourselves? It would mean that the other person, regardless of who she or he is, counts and matters as much as we do. A heart at peace refuses to lump masses of unknown people into lifeless categories such as Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, gay or lesbian, Muslim or NRA member, and make them objects to be dealt with or enemies to be defeated. A heart at peace encounters everyone as a person. It looks another in the face and recognizes itself. What if a heart at peace means feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, and visiting the sick and imprisoned? Before we can ever do that, we must first regard the life, needs, and desires of another as important as our own. All these what-ifs about peace are not so much prescribing behaviors as they are describing ways of being. Peace does not begin with our behaviors toward each other, but with our way of being towards each other, our seeing each other as human beings created in the image and likeness of God. When Jesus sent out the 70, he did not condition their offers of peace on who the recipients might be, their worthiness, what they had done, or what their response might be. Neither can we condition our offers of peace. Are we able to let go of the baggage of our past experiences, the fears and wounds, the grudges, the resentments, the prejudgments, and the assumptions we have made about others? Only time will tell. Amen.